Looking, St. Paul tells us in tonight's epistle, looking for the blessed hope and coming of the glory of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. I remember, as a new priest, offering my first midnight mass in 1976, at someone's home in Newcastle upon Tyne in England. We didn't have churches back then, nor even the hope of them, I suppose. We were just grateful to have the Mass and a source of priests being ordained. After I returned to the United States a few months later, I celebrated Mass regularly in a basement chapel in Detroit, my hometown. And way back then, I remember I had an altar boy, about the same age as so many of the young men you see on the altar this night. I got talking to him one day after Mass there in the basement, and he mentioned to me that his hobby was stamp collecting. Now, I had been an avid stamp collector when I was his age, and I'd collected actually quite a few stamps. But, of course, in all of my years of seminary, and now as a priest, I certainly had no time for stamps. The boy's name was Timmy Shearhart, and I wonder sometimes what became of him or his stamps. I decided to give my stamps to him. A gift is just that. It's something that is given. I had built up a fairly large collection and had no use for it myself anymore. And I hope that he enjoyed it for at least a few years. I've come to believe over the years that, at least for the clergy who are so busy preparing the great gift of God to man each day, but especially at Christmas, it's much better to give those other kinds of gifts, such as all of you have been busy preparing and purchasing and wrapping and the rest. It's better for us, at least, to give them on the spur of the moment. I find that those are the best kinds of gifts. However, sometimes they're harder to receive than they are to give. I mentioned about my gift of a stamp collection to an altar boy because I came across a story casting about for a sermon story for Midnight Mass, a story of a boy coming back from school every day in a small European city where the streets were very narrow. The boy would look in the windows as he passed the different houses, and one house in particular intrigued him. In the bay window, he could see a table, and on the table, stamps, full of stamps, booklets and books and albums of stamps and the obligatory magnifying glass, too. Well, one day, as he was staring longingly at all of those stamps, an old man happened to leave the house. He saw the little boy's interest, and he said to him, "Oh, that's my stamp collection, but I don't have much time for it anymore. Would you be interested in it?" Then he said, the boy didn't say anything, but then he said, "Come back and see me sometime next week after school, and I'll give it to you." Well, the boy thought to himself, he can't mean it. He couldn't be serious. He wouldn't be giving all of that to me. And he never went back to see the man. He didn't think it could be for him. Sometime later, they had a little stamp club at the school. One of his classmates said, "You won't believe the wonderful collection of stamps an old man gave me." And he thought to himself, "I could have had it." But now someone else has gotten it. God's gift my friend. Every good thing summed up in the life of this little child who was born tonight. Grace and sanctifying grace. God's gift is not just for one, nor for the one who gets there first. It is for all. If only you dare enough to have hope, you will have the happiness of having the only thing worth wanting. You know, Christmas, for all of us, not just our visitors, Christmas can be a little bit like looking through a collection. You page through and you admire the entrancing colors, or in the case of a church Christmas, the scents and the incense and the candles, and perhaps the memories of a midnight mass. It is a beautiful, a moving, and an entirely fitting experience. Christ is born at this sacred hour. Where else would you want to be if not in church and at Christ's Mass for Christmas? So that's what people do. Still today, they go to church for Christmas. And here you find a beautiful house of God, all decorated, and the crib and the choir and the servers and the true Mass of the ages. All of that celebrated in circumstances which are a far cry from those humble rented halls, almost stables at times, or those homes, those basements of our beginnings 40 years ago. But you know, Christmas is not a visit, nor is it an exhibit, an invitation to tour our collection and to see some of the church's riches that have been saved from the vandals and reassembled with loving care. This collection is for you. You are meant to go home with it tonight, to take it home to your life, Jesus, our Savior, with all of his forgiveness, with all of the help of his grace, with his hope. And if you take it home, this gift he gives, why, he will take you home at the end to heaven, a fair enough exchange, don't you think? But if you don't, if you leave him here tonight, he won't. It's your choice. He who left his home, heaven, never did find a lasting one on earth, but he wants your heart, and he dares to hope you will open it to him this night, but not just for Christmas, but always. And this is the virtue of hope, of which St. Paul speaks to us in the epistle. It is, I've been thinking, the most elusive of the three theological virtues. We call them formally faith and hope and charity. We live, you see, in a world where people don't know much about hope. We know about wishes, and we all have wants. The whole Christmas season is full of wishes. Everything from little children wishing for a white Christmas and oldsters praying mightily against it. I wish this, and I don't want that. It's all very concrete. We make it easy for our Lord, don't we? I want that new toy. I mean that car. Or I want just to be able to survive. I need a job. I want good health to serve you with a bit longer, my Lord. Whatever it is, it's always very specific. But hope is precisely to say, I don't know how God is going to fulfill his promises, but that's his job, not mine. But I know that he will. And therefore, this present, this moment is enough for me. The knowledge that he is with me. Not in some vague future, but now. And that is why the church prays confidently every Christmas Eve morning the words of the Old Testament, Hodiescietis et mane videbitis. Today you shall know, and tomorrow you shall see. Hope is the supernatural and theological virtue by which we desire and expect eternal life, which God has promised us, together with the means necessary to attain to eternal life. It's a virtue. It's a virtue. A virtue is just a continuous way of acting in a good fashion. And we act in this good, stable fashion because the virtue itself gives us strength. It is a virtue which is supernatural. It's a gift of God. It is not your own efforts. You could be the farthest thing from an optimist, and yet you could be full of hope, because optimism is not hope. Optimism says, well, things are bound to get better. You'll see one day. It's just around the corner. And the hope says, no, I can't wait for one day around the corner. I need it now. Hope makes us to be children. And by this supernatural and divine gift, which we're always quick to open, we are enabled to do just that. It is a theological gift, because it makes us attain to God. Its object is not really that car or that job or this friendship or whatever it might be. Its object is God. And those things, those temporal blessings, which help us to the eternal blessings. The wish list of hope includes eternal life and grace, and then, as I say, everything else which may be of assistance. And this is where the money or the job or the good health or the secret intentions of the heart or snow or no snow, all of these things come in here. The grounds, the reason for our hope, the goodness of God, seen tonight in Bethlehem's little crib. His promise as of old, down throughout the centuries. His merits, his birth, his life, his bitter passion and death and a resurrection. These are the grounds of our hope, what our God has done for us in sending his Son. Hope to work so that we don't just dismiss it and walk away like that boy saying to ourselves, oh, it's not for me. He couldn't really have meant it. Not for me. Hope must be finally two things, firm and humble. Firm enough to exclude all discouragement, to shut the door on anxiety, and then humble, full of that salutary fear of offending the good, good God who loves us so, and making us to distrust ourselves and our own weakness. The German priest who started the revolution, the first of the great revolutions, they call it the Reformation of the 16th century, poor Martin Luther. He did love Christmas, you know, but then again, who wouldn't? Was tortured, I think, his whole life long by a lack of hope. His hope was never very firm. It was always giving way to anxiety and to discouragement in doing good. Nor was it humble. Luther was a proud, proud priest. He had very little of that salutary fear of offending God. Things were to be done his way. He had the solution. And by the time he was finished, this dragon had pulled down a third of the stars of heaven. I remember in seminary in Switzerland, and a historian to teach us church history, and this French priest told us an anecdote once. I don't know if it's true or not, it's just a story. The anecdote is that after Martin Luther left the priesthood and the Catholic Church and started his own church, he had gone off and married a nun, Catherine von Bora. They say that one beautiful night, not like tonight, cloudy, but perfectly clear, all full of stars, that Catherine said to Luther, she said, "Martin, look how beautiful the heavens are." Luther is supposed to have answered, "Ah, Catherine, heaven is not for us." Is it an apocryphal tale? Perhaps. But heaven is for you, if only you will have hope which confoundeth not. Take the gift. It is yours. Take it home with you tonight. A virtue to make you strong. A virtue which is theological and supernatural, to make you steady and to make you discouragement proof. If only you will do your part. If only you will pray. Oh, and keep it humble. Then look. Look up. For the blessed hope in the coming of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. A blessed Christmas. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.